This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm wrapping up the series of Kingdom Powers, and this one is part 8. Amen. We've been in this series for 2 months, and it's been kind of a growing series. You know, we need to grow up in Christ. And we need to learn to align ourselves with God's values. Do you believe that today? Align yourself with God's values. We discovered through the series that humility is greater than pride. We know that. And so we know that sometimes pride will try to get a hold of us at times. But don't ever get too big for your britches. Amen. Don't ever get too big for your britches. Amen. And the Bible says, you know, if you think you know something, you don't know anything yet. Amen. In other words, you might think you know something, but you don't know anything yet. The Bible says we only see in part, you know, and we will see fully when we have our glorified bodies. But that's why it's called faith. Don't you wish you knew it all? Amen. It would be nice to know it all, know what's going to go down the pike. But that's where we got to get up and step out in faith. Amen. Amen. It's sometimes our walk with Christ is a mystery. Have you ever noticed that? And I love that. So it says here in James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're walking in pride, God's going to actively resist you. Amen. I don't hear any amens there. Amen. But if you're walking in grace, God's going to actively embrace you. I like that. Amen. We found out in the second week that generosity is greater than greed. And sometimes we want to hold on to what we have, but God is saying, let go. And we need to learn to let go. Amen. As it says in 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So amen. Somebody say, I'm a giver. Amen. And that's a part of God's nature. God is a giver and we are givers. And we found out in the third week that faith is greater than fear. Has anybody ever dealt with any fear in here? Has anybody ever had, you know, any kind of trial in your life and the devil's trying to make you nervous? And the devil will try to make us nervous at times. But I'm going to say that if you are in God and you, that boat might be reeling and rocking, maybe the storm is coming out. But if Jesus is in your boat, you can't go down. Amen. You believe that today? And so this is a great scripture here pertaining to faith is greater than fear, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody say, I'm not looking at circumstances. So we can't be focused on the circumstances. We got to be focused on Jesus. You focus on Jesus, you will make it to the other side every time. You believe that? Then we found out healing is greater than sickness. How many people believe that? Amen. And you know, there was no sickness that Jesus could not cure. Have you ever read the Bible and read all the accounts that Jesus healed all these people, delivered all these people, and there wasn't one that stumped Jesus? Amen. He was able. So healing is always wins over sickness. And in Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And then another week we talked about rest is greater than stress. And I'm telling you, the devil is trying to get some of us stressed out in here, but I'm not going to get stressed out. Amen. I'm going to learn to cast my cares on the Lord. I'm not going to take the care upon me. That's what prayer is all about. Amen. Prayer is taking it to the Lord, giving it to him, and walking away. Glory to God. And I like what it says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. The bottom line is we just got to yoke up with Jesus. His yoke is easy and his burdens are heavy. No, his burdens are light. It's easy in Jesus. When you're doing it in Jesus, it's easy. But when you're trying to do it in your own power, somebody say God power.
God power.
See, I got to do it in God's power. I can't do it in my own power. Amen. Willpower will only go so far, but God's power will take you to the other side. Do you believe that today? Then we talked about wisdom is greater than foolishness. Anybody ever done any foolish things in here? Glory to God. And I left the church for a little while. That was foolish. And when I left the church, this was many years ago before I was a pastor. Amen. And I stopped going to church and my whole life went downhill. Amen. It didn't take long for my whole life to go downhill. I was out of church for about a year and a half. Amen. I was running my own game, doing my own thing. And you know what? God put my life back together when I got back to church. And God will put your life back together when you get into church and you get submitted and committed. Amen? So wisdom is coming to church. Amen? I'm looking at people of wisdom out here. Amen? Glory to God. And watching me online. That's a lot of wisdom. Amen? And wisdom is greater than foolishness. In Proverbs 8:12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Praise God. Then we found out last week that praise is greater than complaining. How many people stopped complaining after my message on Sunday? Amen. When we found out complaining is right in line with idolatry and sexual sins, we don't want to be complaining. Amen. And praise God. What should we be doing? Well, in Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually. Somebody say continually. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So it's not just being thankful in yourself. It's giving God praise out of your lips. How many praisers do I have in the house today? I'm looking at some praisers. Amen. And of course, you know, the old cliche, you complain, you remain, and you praise, and you be raised. Amen. And so let's look at our main text that we've been looking at for the entire series. And it's based on Matthew 6:33. And Jesus is talking about, you know, in this chapter that the world is seeking things, seeking financial blessings and all that, and trying to seek the things. But, you know, if you seek God, the things will come.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. If you put God first place, things will come into your life. Blessings will come into your life. And it says here in the Amplified, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Somebody say, God's way and not my way. And the attitude and character of God. All these things will be given to you also. So I love that. So the bottom line is that when we're running hard after God, the blessings will run after us. You believe that today? Now today I want to focus on the last key to my series, and that's deception versus truth. Amen. Amen. Deception. How many people know that the devil is the father of lies?
Yeah.
And his whole goal is to deceive people in believing lies. That's all he can do is try to deceive us. Sometimes the devil, you know, you're going through a problem and the devil will say to you, of course you think it's your own thoughts, but not every thought that comes to your mind comes from you. Yeah, that's a good statement there. Not every thought that comes to your mind comes by your own. It might be God speaking to you, and the devil can talk to you too. Did not the devil talk to Jesus when he was in the wilderness? Did he not try to tempt Jesus in the wilderness? Well, the devil will try to talk to us too. And you got to learn and decipher what's you, what's the devil, and what's God. Amen? And so God will never lead you into sin. The devil will always, you know, that's not God. Now, it could be your flesh too. You know, your flesh may want to go on the wild side, but you got to say no to the flesh. Amen? Because that flesh, you know, makes a a wonderful slave, but a terrible master. Amen. You don't want your flesh. That's why we're going to be going into fasting and prayer in the new year. Our church says 21 days of fasting. And I want you guys to join us in prayer, unless you can't do it. Amen. For some medical reason, but if you or you're dealing with something else, but we want you to fast with us for 21 days. Amen. Amen. I want my church to be lean, mean, fighting machines.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, not mean, happy. Amen. Glory to God. You know what I'm talking about. So, amen. We don't want mean. Of course, when you're fasting, sometimes you do get mean. Amen. Is that right? Sometimes you get a little cranky when you get hungry. Amen. You do get kind of mean. That's why they call it, like, one of the things that you can fast is you can do one meal a day. Oh, mad. That means you're oh, mad. You're oh, mad. Amen. You're just eating one meal a day and you're cranky the rest of the hours that you're awake. Amen. So, glory to God. All right, I'll try to have somebody rewrite my stuff. Amen. So the first lie of the devil, he wants to convince, and this is something that we need to get a hold of. I think sometimes as Christians, we live in a bubble. Yeah. As Christians, we live in a bubble, and we think everybody's like us. Or we start thinking like everybody, of course, everybody, but you know, everybody's not like you. Amen. And you know, I need to pop your bubble today. Amen. Because we are not just living. Yes, it's great. We're in church and we love each other and we're all going to heaven. Glory to God. And, but you know, there are people out there that don't have Jesus. And there are people out there that are on their way to hell. And we got to be aware of that. So the first lie that the devil will, you know, put on the world, really not just Christians, but put on the world. Some pastors may preach like this, but not me. Here's a lie that we're all children of God. Everybody that's on this planet are all children of God. And it sounds good. It sounds like, well, we're all children of God, you know. And so this whole series is talking about that there's a dividing line. There's actually two families in this world system, and that's the family of God and the family of the devil. And I got, you know, and I'm going to say this, that before you got Jesus in your life, the devil was your father.
Yeah.
Amen. But you were translated out of that kingdom of darkness when you received Jesus into the kingdom of light. So we need to start operating as children of light. And so one of the false deceptions of the world is being religious or having religion. It really is a false deception that you have a relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Just because you're Buddhist or you're of some other religion, you know, all those religions might have good things in them per se. They might have good things, but they don't really truly have God.
Yes.
You know, they have philosophies and all that. Jesus was in constant conflict with the religious leaders of his day because most of them did not have a true heart towards God. Do you know you can be in church and not have a true heart towards God? You could come to church and not really come to church for God. You might be coming to church for something else. You might be coming to church to network or to see how many, maybe you have a business to see if you can hobnob with people and get them in your business. You know, there are people that come to church just for networking. Amen. Some people don't come to church for a pure purpose. But I know you're coming to church for pure purposes. Amen? You want more God. Somebody say, I want more God.
I want more God.
So these religious leaders had no real love for God. They liked people, the religious leaders liked people looking up to them, but they didn't love God, and they really didn't love people, the religious leaders. And these religious leaders had no real love for God, and they hated Jesus. Think about this. They hated Jesus, and they hated Jesus so much they wanted to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
Think about this. This is what religion will make you do. Your religion will make you hate. And religion will make you want to murder people. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was throwing people in prison. He was standing at the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. He was complicit with that. He was in agreement with his stoning. He was standing in agreement with killing people. Religion will make you mean.
Yeah, that's right.
But we don't have religion. We have relationship.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will actually help us walk in love. Amen. Somebody say it's relationship,
not religion.
Amen. And these religious leaders, were mean. And sometimes we think just because we grow up and we come from a household of faith, that because our parents have faith, that means we have faith. Just because your parents have faith doesn't mean you have faith. Amen. And just because your parents can pray, heaven down, doesn't mean you can pray heaven down. Amen. You can't go on your parents' faith. You can't go on my faith. You're going to have to develop some of your own faith. Say, I'm developing my own faith. Amen. I know this isn't in the notes. Amen. But the Holy Spirit's moving. Amen. And so here, Jesus in this passage reveals a distinction between the religious leaders and himself in the relationship with God. In John 8:37-38, this is really good. It says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. But this is Jesus speaking to the religious leaders. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Notice that? Notice what Jesus said? Jesus said, what I do, and Jesus was walking in love, healing people, delivering people, feeding people, setting people free, doing good. He says, I do because my father's inspiring me to do good, but your father's inspiring you to do evil.
Yeah.
Think about that. And so he's making, he's revealing to them that their father is not Father God, it's the devil. So Jesus is saying in this passage, even though they were descendants of Abraham, that did not qualify them to be children of God. That's powerful. Just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Yeah.
Just because you stand in a garage doesn't make you a car.
Yeah.
Amen. Standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Because I went to church a lot of my life and I wasn't saved. I went to church and paid my dues on Sunday morning and lived like the devil the rest of the week. Anybody used to live like that? Amen. It was religion. I had religion. I had a feel-good hour amen, at least I'm paying my dues, right? But you know what? That's how the world thinks. That's how religious people think. They think that, hey, I'm paying my dues. I go to church. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. And you got to have Jesus. So they thought what qualified them was that they were Abraham's children, but they weren't acting like Abraham. Then they had hate in their hearts. Number two, they had hate in their hearts towards Jesus. This reveals their true nature. See, if you're coming to church or if you're, but you have hate in your heart towards your brothers and sisters in church, towards people, that might be a telltale sign. Do you have God in your life? If hate is resident in your heart, if you're hating on people, amen? We can't be hating on people. Glory to God. We need to be loving on people. Look at you and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. And so we need to love people like Jesus loves people. And I'm going to say this, that's not easy. It's not easy, but God's Holy Spirit can help us love the unlovely. Is that right? Can God's Holy Spirit help us love the unlovely? And then he said, Jesus said, what caused the religious people downfall was that they had no place for Jesus' words. So they had hate in their heart, Amen. And they had no place for Jesus' words. We must give place to Jesus' words to walk in freedom out of deception.
Amen.
That's a good quote there. I like this because Jesus, there were Jewish people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. We know his 12 disciples believed, and there were other people that believed that Jesus was the real deal. I don't know how they could not believe it. He was doing all these wonderful miracles and helping people and setting people free and casting out demons. He was doing all these marvelous works. How can you not believe? Well, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were jealous of Jesus because Jesus was pulling bigger crowds. And they didn't like it. Jesus had more people coming to his meetings, and they didn't have as many people, and they were jealous. We got to be very careful with jealousy. We can't allow jealousy to be in our lives. Amen? Amen. If somebody gets blessed, thank God that they're blessed, because eventually your blessing is coming.
Amen.
Rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen. Weep with those that weep. Amen. So we want to rejoice because your blessing's coming. And I like this, what Jesus said to the Jews. He said this in John 8, 31, 32. You're all familiar with this passage. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. There were some Jews that believed him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why? Why are some of us having a hard time living for God as Christians? I will say some of us can have a hard time living for God as Christians is because we're not abiding in the Word of God like we need to.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just hearing the Word. I mean, we got great hearers, but it's not just the hearers of the Word that are blessed. Thank God you're hearing the Word. But it's the doers of the word that, but you got, that's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. That's when we start saying, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're laying down and I'm picking it up.
Amen.
Amen. I'm understanding what you're saying and I'm going to start obeying you, and I'm not going to put myself first. I'm going to put you first.
Amen.
Amen. And he says here that this passage goes a little deeper than just hearing the word. It's saying abiding in his word and you'll be free. Now I define the word abiding as to stand on the word on a continual basis until you see the fruit of it. That's my definition of abiding. Stand on the word of God on a continual basis. That means you don't give up. That means you keep standing regardless of what it looks like until good fruit comes.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this. You keep standing on God's word. You keep praying and believing. Good fruit will come.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Amen.
I believe that today. Amen. And so we got to abide. So I like what it says in John 15. Just kind of going on the place of truth here, of walking in greater truth. In John 15, Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, 1-5. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Amen.
This is powerful.
Amen.
You know what you know the will of God is for you. Really, the main will of God for you is to bear good fruit.
Amen.
That is what God's will for each one of us. He wants us bearing good fruit. And I want to be a 100% good fruit bearing Christian.
Amen.
How many people want to be 100-fold good fruit bearing Christians? Amen?
Amen.
Man, I barely can get that out. Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to be 100-fold. Jesus says some 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I'm looking at 100-fold reapers in the house today. Do you believe that today? Why not set the bar high? And if you get to 60, at least you got something. Amen. So what he's saying here, what Jesus is saying about bearing fruit, truth, abiding in God's word keeps us safe of living a long life by bearing good fruit. Notice he says here that if you're not a Christian that doesn't bear good fruit, he takes away. That means that if we don't start bearing good fruit, we may not live out our lives like we need to. That means that sometimes our lives can be short because we're not living out what God wants us to live out. And I want to live a long, how many people want to live a long life in here? Amen. In Psalms 25:14, it says here, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. How many people have reverential fear of God? That means that if you have reverential fear of God, that means you don't want to sin. That means that you want to do right. That means that you don't want to walk on the wild side. That means that you want to obey God. Amen. If you fear God, that means that you want to obey God. Do what he's telling you to do and walk in unity with him. In Psalms 91:16, the promise, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the promise of bearing good fruit.
Amen.
If you're bearing good fruit in your life, then the outcome will be a long, prosperous, blessed life.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? And I'm looking at people that's going to live long and live strong. You're going to 120, some 123, but praise God. Amen. But you're going to the next level. Amen. Truth, abiding in God's word keeps us clean from the corruption of this world. Abiding in God's word keeps us clean from the corruption of this world. Do you know being in this world, you can get dirty? You can get dirty in this world. This whole world system stinks to high heaven. Amen. Is that right? Have you ever heard that before? Amen. The world and these world philosophies stink to high heaven. Amen. But if we abide in God's word, it will cleanse our souls. And we need our souls cleansed. Amen. In Ephesians 5:26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing by the word.
Amen.
So God's word will cleanse you, will clean your mind, will cleanse you from all filthiness of the flesh. Is that wonderful today? I'm going to say this, you're getting a bath this morning. Glory to God. You are being cleaned this morning. You said, well, I already had one. I had a shower this morning. Yeah, but you're getting more cleaner and cleaner as you put yourself under the word of God. And I'm telling you, you keep coming up smelling like a rose.
Amen.
Glory to God. And then number three, truth. The truth here is abiding in God's word gives us the ability to do the impossible. He says, if you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. He says, you can't do nothing apart from abiding in Jesus. So if we can't do nothing apart from Jesus, what can we do in Jesus? I'm going somewhere this morning. If we can't do nothing apart from Jesus, what can we do in Jesus? Woo! Glory to God. In 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful. That means that God will honor your word. But first you got to honor his word. I'm going somewhere this morning. If you're honoring God's word and God's word is in you, then he's going to honor the word that's in you.
Amen.
He's honoring his own word. So you allow his word to come out of you. And his word gives you every blessing that man can think of. If you need good relationships, his word will provide it. If you need financial blessings, his word will provide it.
Amen.
If you need healing for your body, His word will provide it. Do you believe that today? And so you just got to notice that it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it be done for you. You might say, well, what if I desire bad things? Well, if you desire bad things, his word's not really abiding in you. You can't ask for all the money in the bank. Amen. Lord, you know, his word, if his word's abiding you, his will becomes your will. And his will is always a good will for you. Do you believe that today? In John 14:12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, this stumps a lot of people. This scripture I'm about ready to read, but buckle your seatbelt on. Amen. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. This is powerful. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you believe in me, you can do greater works than me. Now the greatest work he did was go to the cross. Amen. But even when he was down here, you know, he was healing and delivering, setting free. He's saying that we can do the same thing. But the greater work is getting people saved. That's the greater work. Amen. That we can win people to the kingdom of God. Now, we know after he had his resurrected body, you know, he breathed on his disciples and they became born again. Amen. They received the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And they became born again Christians. Hallelujah. But we have the same ability to speak the word of God to people, get them out of the kingdom of darkness and get them into the kingdom of light.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to be aware. Get out of the bubble that everybody's like you. Everybody's not like us. Amen. People are different. And there's people in the camp of the devil and there's people in the camp of God. And so we need to get the people out of the camp of the devil into the camp of God. Amen. Somebody say, be aware.
Be aware.
Amen. So let's look at this scripture. It plainly reveals the character of the devil and the character of these religious leaders. In John 8:44, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to these religious leaders again, and he says, you are of your father, the devil. That's pretty strong. Think about this. These people, we're Abraham's seed, you know. We're religious people, and Jesus is saying, you're of your father, the devil. Amen. This is powerful. This is powerful. And you wonder why they hated him. You wonder why they didn't like Jesus. Because he was being honest with them. Sometimes when people are honest with you, you get mad at them. When people are honest with where you're at, sometimes we get defensive. We get offensive. We get offended. And we say, well, no. But Jesus was being honest with them. You are of your father, the devil. And then he goes on and says, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we see here Jesus reveals that they are of their father, the devil. Talking about there's two camps, the camp of God and the camp of the devil. Then Jesus said the devil is a murderer and does not stand in truth. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. He says the devil is a father of lies. And so Jesus was revealing to religious leaders that they had hate in their heart towards him. And that was akin to murder. And their father, and he revealed to them their father was the devil. And we know this, that in 1 John, John actually bears this out. And he's talking about Christians and non-Christians in this epistle that he's writing to the church. And John says, we know, and this is 1 John 3:14-15. He says, we know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. Okay, this is an acid test if you're saved. Do you love people? If you have hate in your heart towards people, I don't know if you have Jesus in your life. Now, I know the flesh will work on your life. I know that sometimes you may really have a real anger issues and you might have to forgive. Amen. But if you're hating on people, not walking in forgiveness. You don't have any love towards the church. You don't have any love towards Jesus. You might want to check your salvation card. Amen. If there's no Jesus in your life, there's no word, no church, no prayer. I don't know if you have Jesus. Amen. If it's all about you. Amen. And then he says here, he who does not love his brother, he says here, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow, that's powerful, amen? So I don't want to be hating on people. I want to be loving people. Now, I know people will grate on your nerves. Has anybody ever grated on your nerves out here? You don't keep looking straight ahead. Don't look at your spouse. Amen. And so sometimes people grate on our nerves. But the Bible is very clear that if you have Jesus, the love of God, it's in Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you love the unlovely. Glory to God. Amen. And so we got to learn to love the unlovely. Amen. And we can't allow hate to be in our hearts. Children of God walks in love. Children of devil walks in hate. Number two deception is there are many, the world will say there are many ways to God. Truth, there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. See the world system saying there's many ways to get to God, but there's only one way, Jesus. Yeah. And in Matthew 7:13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. I wish Jesus didn't say there was many. Amen. Then he goes on and says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Amen. Do you know that that the difficult way, the harder way, is living for God?
Yes.
Do you know it's easy not to live for God? It's easy to live for yourself, to do whatever feels good, to live your life for yourself, to be your own captain of your ship. Amen. But you know, some people say, well, you use Jesus as a crutch. Amen. You can't live life without Jesus. That's true. We can't. Amen. Amen. And Jesus, and really, that crutch is a cross that we're not leaning on. It's a cross that we're carrying. I'm going somewhere today.
Amen.
I'm going somewhere today. That cross is not a cross that we lean on. It's a cross that we pick up every day. That's why Jesus said it's difficult, that the way that leads life is difficult at times, because we got to pick up our cross, follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. It's not always easy being a Christian. People that try to say, oh, it's easy, you got the easy life. No, you got the easy life if you're not living for God, because you're living for yourself. But you will end up reaping the whirlwind at the end. I'm not living my life for today. I'm living my life for the future.
Amen.
I'm living my life for heaven. I'm heaven bound. I'm future minded. It's not about just the here and now. It's about tomorrow. It's about my life. Where is your life ending up? It's not where you're at today that counts. It's where you're going to end your life that counts.
Amen.
And you better end your life with Jesus in your boat.
Amen.
Amen. Don't leave earth without him.
Amen.
Don't leave earth without him. Amen. So Jesus is revealing that the broad way are the false religions and man's philosophies that will lead people to destruction. But the narrow way is the narrow way of life. And so some people say Christians are narrow-minded. No, Jesus said it. It's the narrow way. And so let's look at John 14:6. Jesus said this, and we're all familiar with it. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you know what? It's not your denomination that gets you to heaven. Some people say, you may ask somebody, are you saved? And they say, well, I'm a I'm of this persuasion. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. I'm this. Yeah, but are you saved? Are you saved? You might be a Catholic, but you could still go to hell being a Catholic. You still can go to hell being a Lutheran. If you don't have Jesus in your life, if you just have religion, religion won't get you there. And Jesus is saying that he is the way. Jesus is the way out of your troubles. He's the way out of hell. He's the only way. In Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. Amen. Jesus hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Jesus is not only the way, but Jesus, number two, is the truth. There is no unrighteousness in Jesus. Jesus, he doesn't just point to the truth like some of these religious leaders, they point to truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the real deal. Do you believe that today? And there is no unrighteousness in Jesus. It says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, and yet without sin. You know, I was witnessing to somebody while I was eating dinner at a restaurant. This was years ago. And I was talking to them about Jesus, and they were in religion. I said, "What?" I said, "Do you believe?" I asked them, "Do you think that Jesus ever sinned?" And they said, "I'm not too sure. I think he might have sinned." You know, why would somebody think that way? Because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in a historical Jesus. They believe in the Bible Jesus, but Jesus isn't their Savior, and they don't know that he was virgin born. Amen. That he walked a perfect life, that he was our perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He's perfect. There is no unrighteousness in Jesus. Amen. There is no unrighteousness in the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is truth. Amen. And I'm going to say this. You can handle the truth. Amen. And in number three, Jesus is our life. Amen. Jesus is the life. Amen. Jesus gives us eternal, abundant life to those that receive and believe in him. So I don't know about you, but a lot of people are trying to get life through sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what the world is trying to get life through. Amen. Do you remember those days? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Do you remember that you were trying to get life before Jesus and you always came out empty? It was always the hangover the next day. You were at the throne, but it wasn't the right throne. It was the porcelain throne. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You weren't worshiping at the throne of Jesus. Amen. And so you were, what I'm talking about, you were hugging the commode. Amen. Those days. Amen. But we want to be at the throne of Jesus, and Jesus gives us life. And John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Glory to God. So I'm going to say this. Light always overcomes darkness. Good always overcomes evil. Jesus always overcomes the devil. Do you believe that today? And then in John 10, it says here, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Somebody say, I hear God's voice, and Jesus knows me. Amen. And it says here, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I'm going to say this, that Jesus knows how to keep us.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this, if you're here today, it's only because Jesus has been keeping you.
Amen.
It's not because of how smart you are. How wise you are. It's how good he is. Somebody say he's good. And then in John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes except to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. The number three deception is that being a good person and doing good works can get you to heaven. Being a good person. Most of the world believes just being a good person is enough. Well, I haven't killed anybody, you know. I pay my taxes. So, you know, I'm a good person. But being a good person isn't enough. Why? Because your goodness, it has to be compared to Jesus' goodness. Okay, I'm going somewhere this morning. How good are you compared to Jesus? I don't think you're that good. Amen. Compared to Jesus. Jesus was perfect. So if you can be as good as Jesus, then you don't need him. You don't need him as Savior. But I'm going to have to say, you're not as good as Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate goodness. Amen. And so truth, only by God's grace you can be saved. I know this is elementary this morning. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I don't have sinners in the house, but perhaps maybe somebody's watching online that doesn't know Jesus and they need to know this truth. Some people don't even know how to get saved. They just think it's just maybe watching some videos or having some knowledge of God and Jesus. No, there's more to it. And in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." You cannot save yourself. Amen. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. So we see here, it's somebody say, by grace. It's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone that we're saved. Get a hold of that. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And you can't add anything else to it. What about Jesus and works? It's Jesus, baby. And he helps you do good works.
Amen.
Because he saves us to do good works.
Amen.
The rest of the scripture says. What is the problem that people have? The problem that people have, it's called a sin problem. It's called a sin nature. And you cannot get rid of your sin nature by being good or trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, trying to get yourself right in your own power. It's not about cleaning yourself up. It's about Jesus making you a new creation in Christ. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There's a passage that says there's none righteous aside from Jesus. The Bible says that our goodness is like filthy rags. In other words, our goodness can't measure to Jesus' goodness. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." This is the consequences of sin. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
I'm taking you down the Roman road. This is a good way to get somebody saved. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. That's easy to remember, amen? And then Romans 10:9-10. That if you this is how you get saved. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Anybody ever confess Jesus is Lord in here? Amen? And you keep confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ when you live for him every day of your lives. So we found out this morning that there are two families existing on this planet, the family of God and the family of the devil. We also found out that there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. Philosophy can't get you there. Religion can't get you there. Being a good church member can't get you there. It's Jesus. Amen. And then we also found out it's by the grace of Jesus and not man's goodness that gets us to heaven. Amen. We can't be good enough to get to heaven. Amen. On our own, we need Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, you need Jesus to keep moving in your lives so that you can continue to be all that God has called you to be. Glory to God.
Amen.
Did you receive it this morning?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you for your grace. Perhaps there's those that are listening or watching and you have not made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, in Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you really believe that, you must make a confession, a heart confession of that truth. And when you do that, the sin nature will be crushed in your life, and you will have a new nature, and that would be the nature of love and the nature of God. If you're ready to move forward in receiving Jesus, just say this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so that you can grow in your faith. If you're here locally, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that you can get hooked in with so that you can grow in your faith and become all that God's called you to be. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be here same time next week. Be a part of that. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.